You're welcome again. So, my name is Eve Decker, and my first encounter with Dharma in this tradition, the Vipassana tradition, was in 1990. I was a spiritual seeker. I had tried a lot of different things, and I went on a friend's recommendation to James Barris's beginning meditation class at the North Bray Community Church. And I don't remember anything about the class except crying through it because I felt so much resonance with whatever it was that James was saying that night. And I began a journey of long retreat practice and study, and then began teaching in 2006. Prior to that, though, I grew up in a musical family. My mother is and was a folk musician. I mean, she was a stay-at-home mom, but she's also plays guitar and sings, and presently she's 82. She'll be 83 in September, and she leads a choir in the Sonoma Valley called the Threshold Choir. Some of you may have heard choirs of primarily women who sing at the bedsides of the dying. So I grew up with a mother who played guitar and sang and still does. And so that's just part of the fabric of my life. So when I began as a meditation practitioner in the 90s, I started to write songs about what I was learning and experiencing on retreat and in my study of this practice. I was in a band, a folk trio, a feminist folk trio, called Rebecca Riots, and we played and toured the country for 15 years. And then most recently, I just started to make a whole life out of being a Dharma practitioner and singing Dharma. Mostly, when I'm with circles of people, I don't I do a little bit of the songs I wrote, but mostly what I have done is I've collected chants and songs written by other people that reflect what I understand to be some of the primary teachings in our tradition and in Buddhism in general. So teachings around awareness and compassion, intention and kindness, appreciative joy, wisdom, patience. And that's what I do. And I'm also in a little cohort now. I was trained to teach through the Spirit Rock Community Dharma Leader Training Program, but I'm now in a little cohort of people that James is working with to do further teaching. So I got an email from him a few days ago asking me to come in and cover for him, because he can't be here and neither can the co-teacher of this Sangha, Kate Mundy. And I typically, when I come, I'll give a Dharma talk with a little bit of music, but I thought, and often when I come to this Sangha, I'll bring chant sheets and we'll all sing together some of these things I've collected. But I thought tonight that I would enjoy sharing with you some of these songs that I've written over the years. Most recently, a big project that I had related to the songs that I've written is I gathered together some of the musicians who played for James Barris's Awakening Joy course over the years. And we produced an album of the Awakening Joy music, and we had a concert at the end of January. That was really fun, and I got to play some of my songs that I've written at that concert. I've been playing them since in other venues. So I wanted to share some of them with you. So the first one is called Generosity. The song is called Generosity. In 2003, I was on a three-month silent retreat, and the teachers were teaching the paramis, or the paramitas. These are 10 practices that we can undertake to bring more well-being to our hearts. And the first of these is generosity. In fact, the Buddha taught that both generosity and integrity or virtue, ethical behavior, are completely foundational to the spiritual quest. We can't go anywhere without the capacity to step away from a sense of fearsome lack and insufficiency. Generosity is trusting in the abundance of the moment and offering out to others. Dana that Ernie was talking about earlier. Fundamental to the understanding and the courage that it takes to really set forth on the journey to freedom, along with integrity. So on this retreat, I was learning about all of these 10 paramis, and we're supposed to be just bringing our mind back to the present moment, but when my mind went off into planning mode, I thought, when I get off this retreat, I want to make a record about the paramis. And I did. The way that I did it was I took a class. Trying to remember the name of the teacher because she's local. If it comes back to me, I'll say her name because she's fabulous. Someone else might know. She teaches the Year to Live class. Bonnie O'Brien Johnson. I took the Year to Live class and I thought, all right, if I had a year to live, I would practice like my hair was on fire and make this music for people. And so I did. I made this record in 2006 on the Paramis. It's called Commentary on Perfections of the Heart. And this is the first song on that record. I trust in the power of generosity and give her a shawl I can't afford. While she's gone, I'm the one who stays warm, thinking about that shawl over her shoulders. I trust in the power of generosity and give him a $20 bill. He stands alone at the intersection, but he's given me a sense of connection. Was this secret I've stumbled onto, something we all should have been told? Maybe you always knew. For me, I didn't get it till I got older, but that's better than never knowing the power of generosity. Trust in the power of generosity and give a party for a friend. We come together to give her love she can see. She fills up on love, but so do we. What's this secret I've stumbled onto? Something we all should have been told. Maybe you always knew. For me, I didn't get it till I got older, but that's better than never knowing the power of generosity. There have been times when I didn't know if I'd make it through. I searched desperately for remedies to feeling blue. Mindfulness, forgiveness, generosity, bring happiness. It's true. I trust in the power of generosity and open my reclusive heart. It
Likes to hide, likes to stay inside, but too much self-concern and I fall apart. What's the secret I've stumbled onto? Something we all should have been told. Maybe you always knew. For me, I didn't get it till I got older, but that's better than never knowing. The power of generosity, better than never knowing. The power of generosity.
Need to applaud. We're not in that sort of a scene right now. I'll just share this. Think of it as musical dharma. So I told you I was in this band for 15 years, this trio of women called Rebecca Riots. We toured the country 3 times and we went up and down this coast here multiple times. And we had this little van. And as you can imagine, being a musician, much like being a Dharma teacher, is not one of the more prosperous choices one can make in terms of a career. And so typically what we would do is we'd drive somewhere where we were going to give a show, and then we'd stay in someone's house. And let me tell you that if you do this, expect to eat a lot of lasagna for dinner and a lot of pancakes for breakfast. People seem to always fix lasagna for dinner when they're having musician guests and pen. I think they think we're hungry. And they're right. We are hungry. So anyhow, we were on the East Coast at Thanksgiving time. And both of my buddies in the band, they had family on the East Coast. So we took one of the women, Andrea, to her family. I can't remember, it's Connecticut. And then we took Lisa to her family in whatever state they were in. And then I was going to go meet my cousin, and I got lost. And this was before GPS. And before I made my way to wherever I was, I drove through 6 states, because you can do that on the East Coast. You can drive through 6 states. And all I had was a cassette of Thich Nhat Hanh. One cassette. So it's fantastic. Dharma bears repeating. So I listened to this one cassette over and over and over again while I was lost on the East Coast. And one of the things that he was sharing in the cassette was about how we can understand the mind and heart like a garden. He's teaching about the 4 right efforts. And right effort means that we understand that we do have some choice. We need a lot of patience, but we do have some choice if we persevere with what we cultivate in our mind heart. First, we become aware that what's happening in there. And then we become aware, humbly aware, of how much of it doesn't serve us. And then with right effort, we can begin to cultivate qualities like loving kindness, renunciation, or simple living, different kinds of things that serve us, that actually serve well-being. And we can begin to let go of our misunderstandings, because we all want to be happy. Let go of the misunderstanding about behaviors, thoughts and behaviors that actually don't lead to well-being. Typically taught as greed, hatred, and delusion. We mistakenly think that if we act from those energies, we'll get what we need to be happy. And instead, we just increase our stress. So thinking of the mind as a garden, and further understanding the power of intention. We intend to walk towards well-being, or freedom, or whatever word you want to use. I think of it as Harriet Tubman on the Underground Railroad helping people get to freedom, and a lot of us still don't make it to freedom, but at least we're on our way towards that North Star. Intention is really powerful. It's the North Star that gives us the direction we're headed. Here I go. Here I am with my crazy mix of stuff. but I'm headed in the direction of peace. It's really hard. Oops, I want to key it up, sorry. I'm also an elementary school music teacher, and it's the end of the school year. I had second and third graders all day today. Last day of music. So if I'm a little spacey, please forgive me. It's really hard not to go where my whims urge me to go. But I know what sort of person I'm longing to become. If I want to help anybody in the world before I die, if I want the suffering all around us to subside, I have got to be more conscious of the things I do and don't do. Every little seed in time will flower. Plant the ones that lead me down a path toward really helping. I am the garden, but I'm also the gardener. In this very moment, I reap fruit from choices past. Choices for the future are made now. Certain habits, deeply rooted, flourish in the heart of me. Repetition, like the seasons, comes naturally. Some of it's good, some of it's not. Right now, this is all I've got. But it doesn't mean it's all I'll ever be. Choosing which part of me to act from is easier when I know what I want to become. I am the garden, but I'm also the gardener. This planting of seeds is more subtle than it first appears. It's not just about a dollar to the homeless man. It's about perceiving what's happening in this very moment, then deliberately choosing to extend love. It's really hard not to go where our whims urge us to go. But I know what sort of person I'm longing to become. If I want to help anybody in the world before I die, if I want suffering all around us to subside, I have got to be more conscious of the things I do and don't do. Every little seed in time will flower. Plant the ones that lead me down a path toward really helping. I am the garden, but I'm also the gardener, yeah. Sort of non-Dharma related, but I want to tell you, I read a book. It's actually related to the Dharma, but it's science. I read a book called The Polyvagal Theory and Therapy, which is actually quite readable. And it talks about how the vagus nerve, we can be in frozen or we can be in fight or flight. But the central vagal, when it's engaged, that's the part of us that can connect and practice generosity and creativity and can be courageous. It's a really wonderful thing to re-engage when we've been in frozen or in fight and flight. And two of the really big things that help us get back to central vagal when we're knocked off are meditation and singing. Pretty cool, right? So on my journey of this long, this journey of these 28 years of practice, as I looked within, I saw that I had a very strong self-critic, and very humbling to see that happening so frequently in my own mind. And I reported that to my teacher, and he suggested that the next time I take a loving kindness retreat, which was coming up for me at the time, that I send a loving kindness to myself through the whole retreat, which is an unorthodox instruction. But I had such an obstacle to self-acceptance. So I did 8 days of 16-hour, you know, days of practicing, sending the phrases into my own system. And about halfway through the retreat, I was sitting in the retreat hall and I heard the frogs singing their songs in the creek outside. And I felt such powerful, unconditional love for the frogs. And then the question came into my mind, why am I excluded from that love? Why is the love so strong for the frogs? And yet I'm somehow walled out from that myself. So I boldly added myself to my circle of care in that moment with the frogs and me. And then it immediately became the yogis too, like everybody, everything. My capacity to really love and accept all beings as we are, without any judgment or requiring beings to be different, suddenly expanded when I could offer that to myself. So this is what this song is about. It's called Simple Truth. The way I see it, there are two choices. I can wait for all these voices to tell me I have made it, or I can love myself the way I am. The way I see it, there are two choices. Try to do it their way, or find my own rejoicing music and play. I've been given a responsibility to love myself like I would love a child. Chaotic, wild, and turning, building bridges, bridges burning. Just as I am, to love me. Maybe self-hatred protects me until the day no one rejects me. If I reject myself first, your coldness might not hurt as much. Maybe if I work harder, try more, do more, faster, longer, the day will come when I feel loved by everyone. I've been given a responsibility to love myself like I love trees. Okay when branches crack and fall, no striving, no have-tos at all. The sparkling green that breathes me just as I am loves me. No, I do not have it all together. I never have, and I never
I know that you don't have it all together either, 'cause nothing here was made that way. We're all falling, we're all flying, we're all playing, we're all dying. We've been given a responsibility to love ourselves like we love freedom, using courage just to see the simple truth of you and me. Love looks like humble gratitude, like endless forgiveness. Just as we are, 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 just as we are. The way I see it, there are two choices. We can wait for all these voices to tell us we have made it, or we can love ourselves as we are. After I wrote that song and sang it some, I began to learn that what I had discovered in my own system, this relentless self-critic, is epidemic in our culture. And I found that and still find it very poignant, very sad. And actually, in this practice, there are so many things that can help. The Brahmaviharas, or divine abodes of the heart, these practices of love and balance, the paramis, the awakening factors. So I collected some of the practices and some poetry and other things like that, and I created a class about including ourselves in our circle of care. And I'll be offering that class again in the fall. Thank you. So mindfulness is another foundational practice, of course, in addition to generosity and integrity. Mindfulness, this training the mind to come back into the here and now, where life actually is. And when the moment is either neutral or pleasant, then we come into the present and we bring our awareness here. We see the colors, we feel the temperature and the textures. We smell, we sense what's happening in our heart, and we can bring a sense of gratitude or joy to this miraculous present moment. Albert Einstein said, we can perceive, there's two ways to perceive life, as though nothing is a miracle or as though everything is. And it seems to me that perceiving everything as a miracle is the wiser way to perceive it, because when we're here in the moment, it's really quite astonishing. However, life also has challenge, 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows. And sometimes the present moment, either because of what's actually happening in the moment
or because of what's happening internally to us as we process what has happened or what might happen, the present moment can be quite challenging, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually challenging. And even then, the teaching is, even then, if we are able to stay present for it, present and for it and kind with it, the possibility of a creative, caring, and supportive response goes through the roof. So this next song is called Sand Makes a Pearl. Staying present with the difficult. I wrote this when I was, for 2 years, I was a retreat manager at Spirit Rock Meditation Center. And you may know if you've been on retreat there that if things are going well for you as a yogi, you do not see the retreat managers very much. You have your own retreat practice and you go back to your room to sleep and you eat your meals and the retreat managers don't seem to be there. But if you're struggling, the retreat managers are there with you. And so as a retreat manager for 2 years, I was witness to some yogi struggle. So I wrote this song during that time down in the yurt at the Spirit Rock Meditation Center.
Tender, surrounded by a shell, but this armor doesn't keep the sand out well. And with these grains in here, what are you gonna do? Will you curse the very water that you come from? Will you curse the very water that you live in? Will you curse this water? Sand everywhere, sand as far as the sea is blue, sand right here in the middle of you, sand in the middle of so much to be grateful for, scraping and chafing and keeping you reaching out. Miracles all around, but this raw ache, nothing more than this right now. No mistake. Stay here, oh, stay right here. Sand makes a pearl. Stay right here, right now, with just what you've got. Sand will make pearl. No one to blame, the ocean is innocent. This is the sea, this is the scene we were born in. If hiding and hating, contracting and blaming worked, we'd all been free long ago. It's not that the wise ones never hurt, it's that they know something we need to know. They're throwing a lifeline, saying stay in the present, knowing this moment and being kind is how we transcend it. Stay here, oh, stay right here. Sand makes a pearl. Yes, it does. Stay right here, right now, with just what you've got. Sand will make a pearl.
It's hard to believe when we're in the midst of it, isn't it? But staying present with pain, present and kind with pain, that's compassion. And compassion is a superpower. I love sitting here in this seat, particular when I'm privileged to get to teach, because not only do I get to see your beautiful faces, but straight in my eye view is this gorgeous Kuan Yin. You'll see her when you walk out. There's several of them behind me too. And Kuan Yin represents the energy of compassion. Wisdom and compassion, but compassion in particular, benevolence and responsiveness when faced with pain. Rather than blame or denial or judgment or fear or rage, benevolence and responsiveness, non-abandoning. So I'm going to finish a little early tonight, partly selfishly because, as I mentioned, the second and third graders. And I'm going to finish with, I'll sing you a dedication of merit, but before that, I want to sing about appreciation and joy, which is also part of the journey. And it's taught that when we experience compassion fatigue, that what's called for is not more compassion at that time. When we experience compassion fatigue, what's called for is spaciousness and a replenishing of our resources through joy. We have some conditioning about putting the care of our own heart at the bottom of our to-do list, and we need to let go of that conditioning. When we can have sacred stillness together like we did tonight, and we can replenish ourselves with joy of nature, of song, of poetry, of beloved friendship, spiritual friendship, we refill our tanks for the work of compassion. So this song is about appreciating the miracle of the present moment. It's called Given to You. I'm just going to check my tuning. There's a Benedictine monk, Brother David. Maybe somebody here knows his last name. I can't think of it. Brother David, who is... He's one of the world's experts on gratefulness and thanksgiving. Anyway, he teaches that with mindfulness, we can notice that the present moment is always given to us. Here it is. Quite amazing. I am breathing. I don't know why, but I know it's a gift from earth and sky. Every exhale, every in-breath, the whole universe telling me, have this body, I travel in sweet devoted companion, warm and auspicious mystery, a priceless gift bestowed to me. I cannot tell you why we're here, so broken and so lost. I do not understand the hate, daily grieve the cost, but I can say with confidence, because I clearly see
This moment is a miracle given to you and me. Here's the sunshine, here's the breeze, feet on steps, legs lifting me. Some call it plain, ordinary. Look close to see, it's amazing. Your bed, the grass, the birds, the cat, your car, your phone, your keys, the bay, the trees, your heart, your knees, your ears, listening to me. Whoa, I can say with confidence, because I clearly see this moment is a miracle given to you and me. This weary mind trying to find security when everything is change. Teach it to see the mystery in what we call mundane. The water from the faucet as it flows into your cup. The universe seizing another chance to love you up. Whoa, whoa, I can say with confidence, because I clearly see this moment. Here's a miracle given to you and me, given to you. Do you see it's been given to you and me, given to you?
So I want to thank you so much for your kind attention. I'm sorry that I wasn't James Barris, just what you were expecting. Thanks for hanging with me. And we're going to close with our good wishes for beings who are struggling and our dedication and merit, which are one and the same, because there's a very beautiful thing in this tradition, which is that we understand that when we come together in circles like this, we generate good energy. It's in our systems and it's around us and through us here in this beautiful and sacred space. And we take this good energy, and with the generosity that we were talking about earlier and the complete faith in abundance and goodness, we take it and we offer it out to beings, because we're well aware that there are so many beings who desperately need some good energy right now. It's called the dedication of merit. So the way that I learned the dedication of merit was a very simple, may the merit of this practice be for the benefit of all beings, may all beings everywhere be free. The abbot of this monastery, Reverend Hung Shur, in 2001, September 11th, when the plane hit the towers, he was at an interfaith conference. And he stepped away, and everyone did. And his heart moved him to take the Mandarin of the Pure Land tradition dedication of merit and translate it to English. And then while he was riding his bike, you can correct me if I'm wrong on any of this story, when he was riding his bike, he realized that a Lorena McKennett tune completely fit beautifully with these newly translated words. So this is a sung dedication of merit. The words are translated from the Mandarin, and the music comes from Lorena McKennett. And we'll be dedicating the merit and to beings who need it, including Monica, who's having a crisis at work and emotional breakdown. So Monica is struggling, so we send to Monica and all beings that near and far that can use some of the good energy that we may have in our hearts. May every living being, our minds as one and radiant with light, share the fruits of peace with hearts of goodness, luminous and bright. If people hear and see how hands and hearts can find in giving unity, may our minds awake to great compassion, wisdom, and to joy. May kindness find reward. May all who sorrow leave our grief and pain. May this boundless light meet the darkness of our endless night. Because our hearts are one, this world of pain turns into paradise. May all become compassionate and wise. May all become compassionate and wise. Okay. Thank you for your practice.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.